Hey, this is Chris. Hope you're doing well, and welcome to Popcorn Finance, the show where we discuss finance and about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. So we're right in it. We're getting close to tax season. And so you heard already, Keela Hill-Trawick, CPA, founder of Little Fish Accounting and host of Bill to Enough, her new podcast, is here to help me answer a question I got in from a listener. So Keela, first of all, thanks for coming back.
No problem. Glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
No, I appreciate it. This is a really good question here. This is an interesting one, and I got in from Tara, and this is what she wrote. She said, I have a partner, but we're not legally married. We have a daughter and a mortgage. I make more money than he does. Should I file and claim our daughter? It's the first part of her question. Part two is, should we file together? And then just in general, she kind of wants to know, you know, how do I learn about filing jointly versus separately? So it's kind of like two and a half questions in one right here. But to kick things off, I just want to ask you, because when I heard this, the immediate thing that popped into my mind was, if you're not married, you can't file together, right? Is that true?
That's absolutely right. And one thing to note about this, because I don't think that it's common knowledge, is that you are married for the whole year for tax purposes, no matter what day you actually get married. Mm. So if you get married on 12/31, you're considered married for the year and can make the choice between filing jointly or filing separately. But the IRS doesn't recognize common law marriage in that same way, unless you can produce some documentation that they would require in order to confirm that you're actually married. For all intents and purposes, they're saying that legal marriage, in whatever way that that means for the United States government, is what would actually allow you to be able to make the determination.
Got it. If you don't actually have any legal status, right, it doesn't really matter what you maybe claim personally or how you view your relationship. The IRS is just like, what does the government say about your situation?
Yeah. And one thing to keep in mind is that the IRS isn't asking for any documentation when you file. So if you file jointly, they're not asking for a copy of your marriage license. You'll just want to look up on the IRS website, what do they consider married and what would they take as proof of that marriage should they ask, so that you have that on the back end. So again, when you file, you're not going to submit anything for them. But the same thing that I say for any kind of audit or review that could come up, you just want to make sure that you're backed up in case they ask. So make sure that you look at the IRS website, see what they are considering married, what lists that they have to say, this is when we say that you're married versus when you're not, and what kind of documentation would prove that. And then keep that in your own tax paperwork so that if they ask, you're ready to deliver it.
The other thing she asked here, because she was kind of talking about, like, should she claim her daughter? Now, if they're in a situation where they're not legally married and now they both have, you know, this daughter together, only one of them then can claim the child, right? Because if you're not filing together, then it's on one of you to take that claim, I guess, a deduction.
Absolutely. And the IRS has really clear dependency rules about who can be considered a dependent, who can claim someone as a dependent. And so you'll want to look those up to make sure that you meet those. But at the end of the day, remember that a dependent can only be claimed by one person. So you can claim your daughter, or your partner can claim your daughter, but you both can't. I've also seen where people kind of flip back and forth. And usually this happens in other situations, like where there's a divorce and there's custody. And then there's a decision on, like, I'll claim them 1 year, my ex-spouse will claim them another year. You still have that option. Just remember that only one of you can have them for 1 year. And then if you make a decision for the next year, you can change it, but it's still only one parent.
Got it. You can't, like, split the kid in half. Like, I'm going to take half the deduction, you can take the other half. Okay, and the last thing I want to clarify here was, she was just kind of asking, I mean, it sounds like this might not apply since they're not married, about the whole idea of filing jointly or filing separately. But when it comes to, like, your tax filing status, we have, like, the single, obviously it's just one person. But if you are legally married, then there are a couple different options, right, on how you can file your taxes, how you can claim, like, your status, I guess we should say. Or maybe you could probably put this in better words than I'm putting this in right now.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So generally, you're making the decision between filing jointly and filing separately. And what I always tell people is to give all of your information, all of the details to your accountant, because they can put it in and tell you which one will be most advantageous. Now, for the most part, The IRS is kind of giving you perks for you being married and filing jointly. There are credits that you're entitled to that you won't get if you file separately, or you're entitled to less in some cases if you file separately. But there are some valid reasons why you might want to file separately versus jointly that don't have to do with your tax amounts or tax credits. If your spouse has a big tax debt that you don't want to be involved in, or you want to protect your refund, or if there are some garnishments or other things that would be related that you just want to make sure that you're keeping yourself separate from, you may choose to file what's called MFS, or married filing separately versus jointly. So keep those things in mind too. I've also seen people making those decisions based on things like student loans. And so student loans might look at your tax return and say, based on the household income, this is how much we think that you should be paying each month. And if there's a big discrepancy between you and your spouse, you may want to only file by yourself so that their income is not accounted for in those calculations. So keep that in mind. Give all of the information to your accountant so that you're prepared for it, but it's not necessarily a one size fits all decision.
Okay.
Another thing to keep in mind when you're filing separate versus filing jointly is itemized deductions. So the rule is if one of you files itemized, the other one has to too, even if it's not beneficial for the other one. So that's something to keep in mind is that if you have no itemized deductions, you could essentially end up not getting a deduction at all because you can't take standard deduction when the other one is itemizing.
Okay, just to clarify, because you threw that out there, when we're talking about taking standard deduction versus doing itemized deductions, could you mind clearing that up for people who maybe don't know the difference between those two?
Absolutely. So the standard deduction is kind of like a freebie from the IRS. It essentially says, based on your filing status, we will automatically deduct this much from your taxable income. So if you are married filing jointly, there is a specific amount that they'll say, okay, this 20 some odd thousand, we're not going to tax out of your taxable income. Itemized deduction is taking kind of the compilation of different types of deductions. So this includes state and local income taxes, mortgage interest, charitable deductions, and you add all of that up, and that is your itemized deduction. You are entitled to the larger of the two. If you add everything up and it's less than what you would have gotten for the standard deduction, you're going to take the standard deduction and not even think about that itemized. But if you add all of those different categories up and they're higher than the standard deduction, you want to take advantage of that. So in this case, if you are married filing separate and I add all of my stuff up and it's higher than the standard deduction, and you add all of your stuff up and the standard deduction would have been higher, you don't get to take the standard deduction. You end up having to take the lesser because we have to do the same thing.
Oh, that is something important to know. I did not know that's how that works. So I will make sure if someone asks me about that, that comes up, I'm like, hey, go listen to Keila in this episode because you need to know this before you start making these decisions.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to answer this. And Tara, thank you for sending in this question. Keila, before we go, where can people go connect with you, listen to your podcast, find out more about what you have going on?
You can find out about our services, everything that we offer, whether you want to work with us directly or take advantage of some of our resources at littlefishaccounting.com. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can also find Build to Enough, where we talk about intentional growth for small businesses who are really committed to staying small, but doing it efficiently to run a business that they want to run. And then we are pretty active on Instagram at littlefishaccounting.
All right, perfect. All that will be in the show notes for y'all to go check out Keila and her amazing work. So thanks again. Appreciate you taking the time to come join me again.
Thank you.
Okay, before we get out of here, I just want to give you one more reminder that you have until the end of the week, this Sunday, March 24th, to join the Popcorn Finance newsletter in order to be eligible for the latest giveaway. And that giveaway, you may be asking if this is the first episode you're listening to and you have not heard about a giveaway prior to this. This giveaway is of two portraits hand-drawn by the incredible artist, Jackie P. Ramos, who also happens to be a listener of Popcorn Finance. So I have hired her to draw two portraits for two winners that I will be selecting at random from our newsletter subscriber list. All you have to do to be entered is just be subscribed. It's free to do. If you're already subscribed, hey, you're already entered. It's a very simple process. I'm trying to make this giveaway as easy as possible. So just make sure if you're interested in being a possible winner that you're subscribed to the newsletter. Also, go check out and support Jackie's amazing work over at Jackie P. Ramos on Instagram. Jackie is spelled J-A-K-I. But as always, I appreciate you all joining me here for yet another bag of popcorn. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Your boy keep it popping like Mary Poppins.